Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, also called Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Just in case you want to go there and take advantage of the resources there, be sure that you watch the short 10-minute video there and give you an indication of some of the beliefs that I hold on this program. I know that many websites have a section that's called About Us or What We Believe. Well, what I believe is there's a synopsis there in that video, that 10-minute video. So go there, make sure you watch that. I think it's a very important video. The gospel message there is a unique message. It's one that the Heavenly Father's given me, at least put together in the way that he's given me to put it together. And of course, I expand on that message every day on my broadcast as we go through the scripture, through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, and leaving no stone unturned. We don't care what anyone thinks. We're looking for the truth. We're not going to hide anything. We're not going to whitewash anything to satisfy anyone. Biblical studies. That's what this program is about. Last time we left off, where we left off, was in chapter 13 of the Gospel according to Mark. We started to get into chapter 13. And I really hate to break up such an important chapter. So what I'm going to do today is jump back to the beginning of chapter 13, and we'll try to cover the whole thing today. I'm sure we'll be able to do that in the almost 2 hours we have. And yes, hello to everyone there in the chat room. Chapter 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. I had someone call me yesterday, and seeing the signs of the times we live in, all excited, and she said, Jesus said this generation shall not come to pass. Well, yes, he did. He did say that. Of course, he said it in Hebrew, and that's our translation of what he said. But that's like saying, the Bible says there is no God. That's an incomplete quote of what the Bible says. And it's true, the Bible does say that there is no God. However, if you read it in context, and you read the whole, you quote the whole thing in context, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. For someone to say something and apply it to today, like Jesus said, this generation shall not come to pass, is just as foolish as saying the Bible says there is no God. And of course, I corrected her on that. And I said, yes, Jesus did say that, but he did not say it to us. He said it to the people that he was speaking to 2,000 years ago when he said it, because the things he was talking about that would come to pass would come to pass in the lifetime of many that were there. And speaking of course, of the destruction, the abomination of the nation, which led to the desolation, which came by like a flood, as foretold by Daniel the prophet, and confirmed by the messenger of the covenant, that is the Messiah himself, who confirmed the covenant with many for that 1 week, and of course, Daniel's 70th week, which immediately followed the 69th week. And let's pick up here in verse 2. Jesus, after his disciples going, man, look at these buildings. Look how big these stones are. You know, they're impressed. And perhaps I would be impressed too if I was there and I saw the stones bigger than the room I'm sitting in, building the wall of the temple, or the wall of the city, or however, whatever they were looking at, and the buildings and everything. Quite a feat, something to see. And they were wowed with it, and they wanted their master to feel the awe that they felt, and to share that awe with them. And they go, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Yahshua, answering, said to them, see thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And this was a prophetic statement for them. And of course, we know that the reason that not one stone was left upon another, because when they burnt the temple, all of the gold that overlaid the ceilings and many parts of the temple had melted and melted down in between the stones of the temple. And when the Romans came in after the siege of Jerusalem, they turned over every stone to extract the gold. So this was a literal prophecy with a very literal fulfillment in 70 AD, not even 40 years later. So as he sat on the Mount of Olives, now see, they were leaving the temple, the Temple Mount. So they sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, which meaning they went over, and from where they sat, they could see the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when these things shall be. Now you can see what happened here. They were leaving the temple. They were impressed by the buildings and stuff, and they wanted to know what the master thought about that. So they said, look at these temples. Look at these great buildings. And he tells them this little bit of prophecy. So on their trek over to the Mount of Olives, they're perhaps discussing those things between themselves and turning them over and over in their minds. Finally, they get over on the Mount of Olives against Jerusalem there, and they decide to ask him more directly about these things. So they say to him, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled. Now, an interesting thing when we read the scripture, if we read it and we believe that when Yahshua said, seest thou these great buildings, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down, period, we think that's all he said. But even the scripture tells us itself that if all of the things had been recorded that he said and done, that there would not be enough volumes on the earth to contain them. Well, in a day when everything had to be handwritten, that was a true statement, no doubt. There was not enough volumes to contain everything. So we know that perhaps a lot more was said than what's recorded for us here. But we get the gist from what is given to us in the scripture. So anyway, they said, tell us, when shall these things be? ? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Another question. So we have at least two questions here in our authorized King James Version. And Jesus answering and began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ or Christs, and shall deceive many. Now this reminds me, there's a verse, if we could jump over to the Revelation, and there's a verse there that says, beware of them that call themselves Jews, but are not. And of course, that's our authorized King James Version translation of the scripture there. But considering that, going back to the time context, I really do believe that that would be a better interpreted, beware of those, because the word there would have been Yahudi, or the people of God. That's right, because they didn't have the word Jews then. So it doesn't take much to come to the conclusion that they didn't say the word Jews, because now when people read it today, well, they think about them Jews over there in Israel that have all been lumped together with, you have your Babylonian Talmudic Judaism, and then you have Torah believers, the Sephardic, who they say are actual, national Hebrew, who have kept their religion and their national status through the centuries. And I say that even that's questionable. And then, of course, there are the Ashkenazim, those that have converted to Judaism of whatever nations and tribes and tongues they've come out of, and they accept the Babylonian Talmudic Judaism. But most people just mix them all up and think they're the same thing. But you go over to Israel, and you know they're not the same thing. And then when they read that verse, beware of them who call themselves Jews or not, and are not. Well, to take that at face value and apply what we think today as a Jew, for most people not even realizing there is a difference, your interpretation is probably most likely mistaken. But to take it back to the time context, we realize that what our good friend there, John the Revelator, was talking about was people who call themselves the people of God or God's representatives on earth. Beware of those who say they are the people of God or Yahudi, Yahudim, whatever Hebrew phrase he would have used when he thought that, when that was given to him. And of course, we receive it in the Greek text, but it would be the people of God, the people that say they represent him. I think that's a better interpretation, and you can go with it or not, because actually go back and forth with it, because there are a lot of people. There's a big movement today in America, and what do they call it? Hebrew roots. And another one is the Messianics. And then there, I know some of these, I know one man, and there are many like that. They're just like I am. They're Caucasian. I know one guy whose name was Steve Butt. He says B-U-double-T. And he had a deliverance ministry back in the 70s and 80s. And his, ministry was Be Free, something like that. He had a website, befree.org, but he went and he changed his name. And I met him before he changed his name, when he was still Steve Butt and having Sunday services in his church. And I tried to discuss the Sabbath with him, saying, shouldn't we be keeping God's Sabbath as God's people? And he was not able to receive that at the time, that, you know, we should, because I was looking into and studying many of these things, questioning a lot of things that were the norm. And I discussed that with him, and he wasn't even ready to receive that then. But then some 3 or 4 years later, I found he had changed his name from Steve Butt to, Eliyahu Ben David. That's right. He finally suddenly discovered his Hebrew roots. And now he has this big following, and he's this great rabbi. And now every tenth word is Hebrew that comes out of his mouth. And it's all phony baloney. All of his prophecies, interpretations of prophecy are wrong, because he's deceived himself, and he's deceiving others, knowingly or unknowingly, genuinely believing or whatever. But I believe he's really gone down a wrong road. And, you know, I believe our enemy loves to get us to go down wrong roads. So take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am Christ's representative. I think this goes right along with what John the Revelator wrote when he said, beware of them that call themselves Jews, interpret the people of God or God's representative, but are not. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or Christ's representative, or I am of Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, this part of the prophecy that applied to Yeshua's time, because even the scribes and the Pharisees, they proclaimed, you know, one of them came up and said, if this be of God, we can't fight against it. But if it's not of God, we don't have to worry about it, because it'll go by the wayside. Remember that guy and this guy, how when they died, their whole movement died, and they had followers and stuff, just like this Yeshua character. But when he died, all of his followers went away and dispersed, and it came to nothing. And this one very wise Pharisee, he named off several, who knows how many, but we have several recorded instances of where a movement started and people gathered followers. And when the leader died, well, it all went away. So he's saying, don't worry about it. But he said, if this thing is of God, because there was something different about Yeshua. He was doing things that none of those other leaders and false prophets that rose up could do. Because you think about it. They're counting down the weeks, you know. 60th week. I mean, in the fervor, toward the end, to its 69th week, man, you got false prophets popping like popcorn all over the place in the 69th week, thinking, I must be him, you know? A lot of people think a little more of themselves than they ought. So you could imagine all of these people with their messianic complexes popping up and saying things and doing things and faking miracles, perhaps like putting on a show like Benny Hinn and some of these fakers you have on TBN, you know. But let's take a clue from TBN. When they wear makeup like a whore, they probably are. Don't follow them. Yeah, just it's comical to see these people with so much frosting on their face that they look like a cake walking around. You want to put a candle on them and light it. So, the deceivers, they started before the Messiah. Many came at that time, I'm sure. And even that Pharisee says, look, but this one is different. If this be of God, we don't want to go against it. Don't worry about it. Let it go. If it's not of God, it'll go away. But if it is of God, then we don't want to fight against it because we'll be fighting against God. Of course, Yahshua doing the miracles. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, and indisputable miracles all around them. Something's going on here. And that's why this Pharisee would say, better think twice about this. And they knew what week it was too. You better believe they knew what week it was. You know, it's like the fervor in the world around the year 2000 because of all the false prophets out there today and all the prophecy pundits out there in the world thinking there's some significance to the year 2000 of the Pope's calendar. Of course, I thought it was nothing because I've been studying into the Creator's calendar and it's not the year 2000 on his calendar, or wasn't. And so, things popped up and everyone thought it's the end of the world. And here we are 9 years later and the world hasn't ended yet. Their next big date is 2012 because the Mayan calendar ended. Oh no. And you even got the so-called Christians out there getting all excited about this, you know, like Chicken Little running around, going, the world's coming to an end. It's no. And then there's the people that believe in the Cassini project or something where they're going to blow up this planet and turn it into a star and all this nonsense. Yes, they couldn't even get to the moon. Give me a break. They had to fake that. I'm going to believe they can blow up a planet and turn it into a star? How gullible do these people think we are? Well, I guess a lot of people are pretty gullible, aren't they? So many will come in my name saying, I am Christ and shall deceive many. Okay, now we can move on. So we know that's a prophecy being fulfilled in his day, even before the Messiah came. We have a witness there in the scripture. And that's a prophecy that has continued until this day. So we know where to place that, right? And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end is not yet. Okay, just because we hear of wars and rumors of wars, that's not a sign that the end is coming. And he continues to elaborate on that a little bit more for nation. And if you mouse over, yes, that's the same word that they translate to Gentile. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. That's different. For all you public school people out there, language challenge.
King James English, I can't understand it. I only had a public school education. You got to retranslate the Bible for me. Make it easy.
Yes, there shall be earthquakes. I'll make it easy for you. In different places, diverse places. And there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. And so what began, those beginnings of sorrows, are still with us today. See, it was beginning then, and it's still going on now. Because we have all these things, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We have earthquakes. You know, You get all these, the prophecy pundits, they excited every time there's an earthquake. Oh, do you know there's more earthquakes now and they're increasing intensity and we have more and more. Well, you know what? When the earth was unpopulated, there could have been just as many earthquakes then as there is now. It's just that nobody was there to report them. We didn't have seismographs all over the earth. Of course we have more earthquakes because we just know about them now, where we didn't know about them before. So I'm not going to get excited over the, you know, frequency of earthquakes and how many more we're having. And then they go to the scripture and it says there shall be earthquakes in different places. Okay. Well, yeah, that was true. And it's still true. It was true then. It's true now. It doesn't mean very much. And he says there shall be famines and troubles. And he says these are the beginnings of sorrows. So it began then, and it continues to today. What's to get excited about? Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.